Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
A number of tourism-related associations are raising concerns that the government's delay in publishing new regulations for short-term holiday lets will have a devastating impact on rural tourism. The short-term tourist letting bill is aimed at curbing properties being advertised for holiday lets via online platforms such as Airbnb and bringing them back into the long-term rental market. The government had originally said the bill would be passed before the summer recess, but that hasn't happened. Our reporter Una Kelly has more on this and is with me now. Una, this was supposed to be a measure to address the housing crisis, wasn't it?
Yes, Cormac, that's the aim anyway. The government says that around 30,000 properties in Ireland are currently offered as holiday lets, and it thinks around 10,000 of those properties could be brought back into the longer-term residential market. So there are two parts to these new regulations. First of all short-term accommodation would have to be registered with Fáilte Ireland, and failure to do so would mean that the property owner and the online platform could be fined. But then the second part is also tighter planning restrictions. The thing is, no one knows what they'll be yet, as it hasn't been published. Now, that delay was partly due to the EU raising an issue with the legislation. The government says that's now resolved, but still organisations in the tourism sector say they have no further information yet, and the uncertainty is already damaging their business. Now, the Irish Self-Catering Federation says tourism is the bread and butter of rural Ireland. They do also acknowledge there is a housing crisis that's causing pressure all over the country, and we hear about this all the time. Take, for example, Rachel Gallagher. She's in her 30s and from Donegal. She and her partner moved from Galway back to Gadoer during the pandemic. And after a search that took months, they were able to find an apartment to rent. It had been converted from an office building. Now, Rachel says it's not suitable for them in the medium or long term, but they have no choice in housing and they feel like they have to put some of their future plans on hold. But Rachel says such is the stress in the housing market that they feel very lucky to have anywhere to rent.
I would say the long-term rental market here is just non-existent, because where we're living now, it's a converted unit. Like, it used to be a dental office, so it's, you know, it's fine for us at the minute, but like, we're two people in our 30s. Like, I think we were thinking about getting on the property market, property ladder, but that's very difficult. So, you know, even in more short term, like, you know, we're always kind of looking for something that's more suitable, like that has a garden, because we don't have a garden or anything now. And again, because it's a converted unit, like, it's not a place very hard to heat, and, you know, there's things like that. But it's, you know, next to impossible to actually find anywhere else to rent. You know, if you have children in the next while, like, what would you do? Because we're in a two-bed house at the moment, but it's, you know, it's not really suitable if you did have a family. So it's really difficult, I think, for anybody around here that does have families and are moving back, because, you know, you could be looking months for something that might come up.
And the area that you're in around Gidor, are there a lot of holiday homes and Airbnbs?
Yes, there's a lot of Airbnbs and a lot of holiday homes as well. So you do see that. There's a lot of just vacant houses, either Airbnbs when you come up and you're talking to the people in the Airbnbs that are just staying there, or the holiday homes as well. And even if you go on to Airbnb, you know, you put Gidor in for a weekend, like, you'll probably get, like, you know, a couple of hundred houses that are in and around the area that are that you're able to stay there for a night. You know, you go on to Daft then to look for a property to rent, and there's like one that comes up. It's not catering to people to actually come home and move back home to live and, you know, develop our communities then. Like, I know obviously tourism is important, but we do need sustainable tourism.
That was Rachel Gallagher there in Gidor, giving a picture of how pressurised the housing situation is there. Now, it seems that pretty much everyone in the tourism industry, including Airbnb, supports the register for holiday lets. The Irish Self-Catering Federation says that they've always fully supported it, but they're saying the fact that no detail on the new planning measures has been published yet has created uncertainty, and their tourism business, particularly in rural Ireland, is under pressure. Mira Nivarahu is the CEO of the Irish Self-Catering Federation. She says they've been asking the government for guidance guidelines on the planning process for 2.5 years. And here she explains what she currently understands the new planning restrictions could mean.
The problem for us is that the second piece of legislation, which is tied to this in Ireland, is a requirement that all short-term rentals would need planning. And this has been brought in by the rent pressure zones, which means that if you're in a rent pressure zone, you should have a planning permission for short-term rental. And if you don't, you have to apply for it. And if you apply, because it's a rent pressure zone, you will not get it. So as 80% of the country is now in rent pressure zones, the majority of people who have short-term rental will not be allowed to continue in business and then not be able to register.
And if you aren't in a rent pressure zone, what would it mean?
At the moment, they are going to require all of us to have planning. And it doesn't matter how old your property is, it will have to meet planning regulations as of today's standard. And if you look at properties all along the Wild Atlantic Way, particularly in Donegal, a lot of them are old style cottages, which would not meet today's planning guidelines. And therefore, they would not get planning as short-term rental. They, of course, are not suited to long-term rental either, because you couldn't live on them all year round. I've had worried phone calls from members today saying, can they take bookings for 2025? So a lot of people, a lot of overseas agents will book a year in advance, believe it or not, particularly from the American markets and Germany, and they want to book for next year. But seeing as our members do not know if they're going to be allowed to continue on in business, can they take those bookings or can they not take those bookings? So our members need clarity on this situation. Like if you closed all our members, we still wouldn't provide enough houses in a year that the ESRI says that they need. They need 53,000 houses per annum. We are not the solution to that. And my house is down in the middle of nowhere in West Cork, on the Mizzen Peninsula. It's not suitable for long-term rent. It brings income to the area all year round when people come and stay there. And if I was closed down, I would not be using it for long-term rent. It would be sitting empty most of the year.
That was Mara Nuvera, who there, CEO of the Irish Self-Catering Federation. And as she just described, there's no guarantee that a property would transfer into the long-term rental market if it can no longer be used as a holiday let. Now, Dr. Sarah Hamill, she's from the School of Law at Trinity College Dublin and an expert in property law. She's raised this issue before. She says that while the new regulations are welcome, there's some concern that they won't bring the estimated 10,000 holiday lets into the long-term rental market.
One of the problems is that there will remain loopholes in the rules, which could allow some properties to sort of escape coming back through online for long-term renting. So for example, there is what is known as corporate lets, which tend to be a bit longer than short-term lets for at least 4 weeks or more. And they are sort of targeted towards individuals who are traveling for extended periods of work. And they will not necessarily be caught by this. And there's also a question of how well the legislation is going to be enforced. And that is something that I would be looking at very closely when we do finally get sight of what these rules are proposed to be.
This proposed legislation might not return as many properties to the rental market as the government would hope.
That is always a risk. And I mean, one of the things which isn't really discussed is there's a question as to how extensive the short-term lets are at impeding the amount of long-term lets available. I think there's a sense that they're a very big problem. And some studies have shown that they are potentially bigger than we realize. But realistically, they do, you know, it's kind of like if you pull one lever to try and solve the problem, something else emerges. And there's a question of whether there is going to be an appetite to ensure what happens if they can't be short-term lets. Are they going to be left empty? Because one of the other things that I think is interesting is whether this will interact with the vacant homes tax. So if they don't get permission to use it as a short-term let, will they actually put it on the long-term rental market? Will they put it up for sale? Or will they just leave it empty? There's sort of no mechanism to force them to rent it out, so to speak, and that would certainly raise contentious issues around property rights. So I don't think that would be possible. But it's a question of whether all of the incentives line up so that the government is going to get its desired result of more properties available either for long-term tenants or for individuals to buy and occupy as owners.
That's Dr. Sarah Hamill there from TCD. Una, the government originally said that the legislation would be passed before the summer recess, but what timeline are they giving now?
Well, Cormac, I asked the Department for Housing, who referred me on to the Department for Tourism, and that department said the general scheme of the bill will be brought to Cabinet at the earliest opportunity and that there will then be accelerated drafting of the bill. Meanwhile, they said the planning guidelines are still being developed by the Department of Housing.
OK, Una Kelly, thank you very much indeed.